Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about Latitude Zero.
1969.
Yeah. Ashiro Honda.
Yep.
Boy, oh boy, am I excited to talk about this one.
This is great.
Yeah. I looked this up, saw some things, and then said, oh, we need to watch this, but didn't want you to, like...
Right, you
look
said,
at the same things.
Don't look. I was like, where are we watching it? Is this right? But don't Google. Don't look it up. But I did make a mistake and spoil myself slightly as I was watching it. Mm-hmm. When I was like, oh, and I started like looking up. Wait, who are looking up the different actors in it, and then
default pictures were.
No, there was Haruo Nakajima was listed in it.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, cool. But it said something like he plays like a giant lion and something else. And I was like, oh, there's stuff coming.
Okay. Yeah, because see, the thing is, I saw usually what happens is we go and we look in Google stuff and then pick the movie based on the stuff we Google. Images. And then like... You get things like Matango, where the mushroom people don't show up until like the last 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. It said Haruo Nakajima plays a flying lion and a giant rat. And I was like, cool.
So I was like, I saw the stuff. I saw all of that stuff, including the bats. And then I'm like, okay, I don't know if this is going to show up in the last 5 minutes. So if you don't Google it, you won't be waiting for it. And hopefully the rest
I've
of the movie.
I've seen the image of the bats before, but I totally forgot about them. And then when they showed up, I was like, "Wow! Oh, wow! This is exactly the reason that Ralph said don't look anything up."
Yeah, yeah. Luckily, I feel like the movie was pretty entertaining up to that point. I don't know if it was for you, but it's at any point where you're like, "Why am I watching this submarine movie for the Kaiju Podcast?" Were you? I mean, you had to expect something, right?
Yeah. No, I was like, it's in the sweet spot. It has, it's the right, it's the era that we like the most. It's Ishiro Honda. I was like, this is gonna be great no matter what.
Uh-huh.
And it just won me over on the outfits alone.
Oh.
Also, the stock footage at the beginning, I was like, "Oh yeah, this is great. This is what or not? Well, yeah, it's like the with the blue screen and the lifting with the helicopter and they're moving the submersible and all that stuff."
Yeah,
I was like, "Man, this looks like those old like Walt Disney documentaries."
At first, I thought I thought they weren't models. I thought it was just a boat. Like I totally had me fooled, and then they did some more close up shots. I'm like, "Oh wait, it is a model." And then they would cut to the wide again, and you would have, like, the miniature people or the people, like, superimposed in front of stuff. And I was like, oh, wow, this is, like, really good effects. I don't know what it is about Ashiro Honda's, like, non-Godzilla movies where they really go out on the, go all out on the models. But, like, right off the bat, like, that boat with the lifting the diving bell, the little submersible, looked really good. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, it's always fun when they open on like a rocket ship model or like a city model, and it's like, okay, you know, like I don't know, maybe that's why we like Ashiro Honda so much.
The model work
is just like, and you get the model stuff like immediately.
And then each of the three main guys is in their own. Sweatshirt and shorts combo.
Yeah, they have their own like primary
matching
colors. Yeah. So it's a American Japanese co-production.
Yeah.
but it seems more American than Japanese.
It's in English. All the Japanese actors spoke English in it.
Yeah, and I was excited to see Cesar Romero was in it. Because I'm right in the middle of like watching all the old Batmans, and this is like the same time he was on Batman.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or just right after.
I think just after. I think Batman's went to 68, and this is like just the year after. Yeah. Probably just went straight from working on this.
Yeah.
So, and Joseph Cotton too. I mean, these are pretty big names.
Yeah. It's weird that like as soon as I posted that we were going to be doing this movie, everyone came out of the woodwork and were saying, "Oh, I've been waiting for you to do this movie since you first started the show, and oh, I'm so excited! I can't wait to hear your take on it." And it's like, I've never heard of it. I've never heard of this movie before. I don't know. I don't know how it took us this long, almost 70 episodes, to get to it.
It isn't. That's one of the best parts of having done this is it's caused us to take deep dives and find all these things.
Yeah. What's interesting though, like I've heard of the Mysterians before, and the version we saw was garbage. The quality of the footage was just bad. Yeah. And this one was we found the version. It was a nice widescreen. The colors look a little faded, but it still looked good. It looked clean.
It looks great.
And it's like how, you know, when was this version put out? And how, like, I don't know how I never heard of this movie before.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's something that should be kind of thrown in, like, in the mix as far as, you know, like classic sci-fi. Like, Criterion's releasing the Showa Godzilla disc set with, like, 15 movies. Like, I feel like this could fit in there, too. Like, I don't know why, like, this and Matango and Mysterians don't get like that kind of treatment. I mean, hopefully, you know, they do something like that in the future, but it like I this movie is nuts. This is the craziest movie I think we've seen. It's definitely up there cuz it's like a futuristic submarine sort of like just battle movie. Like it kind of reminds me of like a Star Trek or something. But then at one point in the movie, it turns into a horror movie, like Dr. Frankenstein movie. And I'm like, this is the craziest, weirdest shift in tone in a movie. And I liked all of it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's really hard. It's a really...
It's definitely falls under the category when you're watching a movie and you're like, oh, this movie's nuts.
Yeah,
there's so much that goes on.
Yeah, in 96 I went to like one of those where you fill out a screening for a movie where you fill out the cards like a test screening for From Dusk Till Dawn. But they didn't tell us that there was vampires in it, and so everybody went crazy, like, you know, like an hour and 15 minutes into the movie when all of a sudden there are vampires. Like, this was the same thing. Like, you think it's a submarine movie, but no, it's really a whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't even think about how to even get into this movie and start talking about it because it's so weird. You mentioned the costumes.
Yeah.
And there's a character named Dr. Ann Barton, and she gets introduced as Dr. Ann Barton, and she's wearing she's wearing a gold bikini. Right. Which I thought that was a great outfit to be introduced as a doctor.
The reaction is he's like doctor of medicine.
Yeah. Was that when you first looked up, went to IMDb? That's when I first went to IMDb because I'm like, oh, who's this doctor in the bikini?
What else has she been in?
Yeah.
Barton. Based on where my spoiler note is, not quite yet, but I think it was after Joseph Cotton showed up, and then I was just kind of like going, "This is the uniforms on this crew is fascinating."
With the he's got the neckerchief.
Yes. It's hard, like I just wrote Captain's outfit, and then I just can't. Every time he changes clothes, it's another amazing outfit.
Yeah.
Just the first one. It's just so great. Him and his first mate. Uh-huh. Actually, there was a great part when they do a hard turn with the first mate.
Uh-huh.
And everybody else does this, like, lean over, but he doesn't move at all.
No.
There's an element.
Is he just that tough, or is he? Did he forget?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. So that's all right. We got it. We don't need to do this again.
Yeah. The Alpha. So the Alpha is the good guy's submarine.
Right.
And it's the way it, like, it seems like it would be a futuristic movie, but it's set in the present. But this Alpha submarine was like super advanced way back when. I think they said it was like built in like the 1800s or something.
Yeah, there's like a dedication to the crew. There's like a plaque there that's like,
so it's like just
1805 or something really old.
So it's not futuristic. It's just like top scientists from the last 200 years have used all of their brain power to create the most insane technology to keep this submarine going.
Right. Well, this is all part of bringing this utopia that's created that's under the water.
Yeah. The Alpha, the dials on the Alpha, look like, reminded me of like the hyperdrive knobs from the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I can't imagine the people who made Star Wars using this as a reference. But it seems really similar. They're really similar. But, this utopian society, this Latitude Zero. First of all, I love the title. I love this place. This Latitude Zero, it gives it like this crazy, like cool sort of like mystery.
Yeah, like the voiceover the beginning where it places us. This Latitude Zero just has a great sound to it for sure. Yeah.
When I was looking up posters and stuff to kind of post on our Instagram and Facebook,
that's
and
just
stuff,
the equator, right?
Yeah, yeah, and it seems like Latitude Zero is on land. Like there's an actual Latitude Zero, but it's located on land. But I guess if it's the equator, then it could be anywhere along that latitude. So that really doesn't make sense. Like, where is Latitude Zero? Is it, you know, between Hawaii and California, or is it, you know, over on the other side of the hemisphere?
Yes, well, Latitude Zero everywhere, around the whole planet. So it's but they give you the longitude. I forgot what number they use, but they give a specific
but
place.
Like,
I think everybody who lives there is issued a golden swim trunk.
Yeah.
The whole premise of like jewels don't mean anything to them, like diamonds. Yeah, we have no use for diamonds here.
Yeah,
other than that, we just use them to hold things to
decorate
put
our plants. It looked like a really nice place to live.
Yeah,
like as soon as they showed up and they
looked
went
like
the
a
dome,
lot of fun.
Yeah, it reminded me of like Wakanda, how they have like the sort of. Well, you can see the barrier, but there's a barrier, but you need to have like a certain sort of frequency to like break through.
To get through it, yeah.
Yeah, and then later on, they kind of do a Black Panther thing where they're like, well, you should be sharing this technology with the world, and they're like, nah, we're good. We're just gonna keep it here. But I loved Latitude Zero. I liked that it was composed of like models, but then they have like people superimposed and like little tiny model cars. Like everything about it was like that cool, like weird 60s sci-fi, like everything looks like a World's Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like all of that stuff kept me going. I was like, man, this is great. Like it's cool, like weird sci-fi stuff.
the model submarine tumbling around, like the little submersible tumbling on a thing. And I was having like this. Did you ever make one of those baking soda submarines when you were little?
I remember getting one inside a
cereal box.
Yeah, it was like a Tony the Tiger one.
Did it work?
Yes.
I don't know if I ever managed to make mine work.
Yeah. And I think you put the baking soda in.
Right.
And then you put it in a 2-liter bottle.
Right.
I think. And you can make it go up and down. Or am I thinking of a different thing?
No, that's the thing.
Yeah, I got it to work. Because I remember it didn't work great. And it only worked for a little bit. I wonder if they made... Like, that's the thing. Like, if Latitude Zero came out today, they would have toys. Like Happy Meal toys or something. And I would love an Alpha baking soda submarine.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think my favorite outfit, aside from wanting a bat costume, of the movie was the first introduction of Dr. Malik.
Okay.
When he's turned away from you at the beginning, and it's this big flowing cloak with this like red piece that goes around like his neck and shoulders, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And I kept trying to figure out what is the symbol on the main button. Like, is it one of those? Is it kind of like an eagle? Like that he had that big eagle thing behind him on the wall. Uh-huh. But it's like I was like, that outfit's amazing. And then he parts the cloak and reveals his pants. And I was like, oh, it just got so much better.
Everyone's so good in this movie. I loved it.
He nails it. He is just relishing getting to be a victim that's not going to be the Joker, apparently. I finally get to be like a guy and I can, you know. Yeah, it's just his rich voice and stuff. Yeah, he's so good.
And you get to see his mustache. I was like, oh, I get to see him. Because I haven't really seen him outside of Batman. So I was like, oh, I get to see what he looks like. And he looks pretty much the same. But I'm like, I'm glad, you know, he's got the mustache. And it's like, that's great.
Okay, so then the opposing sub is the shark. Now, at first I was trying to figure if Dr. Malik and his wife.
Yeah.
We're on the submarine or not, but I guess they just monitor this from their base.
I thought they were on the submarine.
I don't think they are because when the submarine
gets hit,
they're not reacting to it at all.
Yeah, they have the, what's her name? She was the captain of the submarine.
Yeah. Kroiga.
Yeah.
The captain is Kroiga, a woman. That's the reaction.
She's been in stuff before too.
Man, she really went for it. She had a lot of stuff to do in this with the whole when she got caught in the cage fell out of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so wait. Okay, so they land at Is Latitude Zero the name of the place?
Yeah, I believe it. Or I don't know if it was the coordinates, but they called it Latitude Zero. I'm assuming it's the name of the place.
And then when the captain gets off the Alpha with the men, and he just has his jacket draped over his shoulders.
Yeah. So good. It was so...
he's like the coolest guy in Latitude Zero.
Yeah, there was
how I walk around.
Yeah, he thought he was James Bond, like James Bond of the seas. Is that Mackenzie? Is that his name?
Oh, the captain?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Both of them are so great in this movie. I feel like they needed more scenes together.
And then, after that, the doctor, who's been wearing her revealing dress this whole time, she comes out and her coat is see-through plastic.
Yeah, it reminded me of Blade Runner. That was the thing. Is her doctor outfits were all skimpy and weird, and I was like, I mean, yeah, I get it. you have like a young blonde as your doctor, and you're, but like, I feel like everyone in Latitude Zero, they made them wear like sort of skimpy clothes. But it was funny that they, you know, she needed to wear a coat to be a doctor, but they're like, oh, but we can't see the skimpy clothes. So yeah, make the well, coat, like make the coat clear.
When they land and there's like some, they get greeted by some guy who's some like Nobel Prize physicist or some guy, and he's walking with some woman in a bikini.
Yeah.
He says hi to them, and it's like, oh, hi. And I'm like, what kind of doctor is that lady?
Do you think that's notes from the American side of the production?
Oh, to have all the bikini people?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you think maybe Ishiro Honda was like, maybe this is what Americans want? It's so weird.
No, it's the lady that drops her towel.
Oh,
it's like the lady who drops her towel. Like, what kind of doctor is that lady?
Yeah.
Also like how like these people have been living there since 1805 at least, right? Yeah, so like there's some people who still had old timey clothes on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was an interesting place for sure. And you kinda wish it was real.
It's got like, that classic sci-fi of like ordering food by pushing a button.
Uh-huh. And then they had that huge feast.
One thing I liked in the feast is that one of them's drinking sake and the other one's drinking wine. There's the other part where then the doctor shows up again and I go, oh, she's dressed normally, it appears. And then you realize that the side panels on her top are the see-through.
Yeah.
It's like a side boob kind of shirt.
And like backless jumpsuits. Everything about this, the sets, the costumes, the effects, everything. It's like the most 1960s you can get.
Totally. I wrote Malick's second outfit, also good. when the captain's second outfit, the one that's got all the like the circle things on the sleeves.
Oh yeah.
Still with the scarf. I mean, it's just the fashion's amazing. Now, all this is just stuff like, you know, it's very fun and aesthetic, and everyone's kind of great in it. And we have no idea that it's building up to then.
Yeah, I knew.
Cage creatures.
Yeah. Now, this is one of those things where it, like, I know they're not real. I still feel sympathetic towards these abominations. But especially the condor after it gets its wings removed.
Is he still alive at the end?
The condor is just like laying on the table in the back. And then they like.
But it's not moving anymore. I think
no, it's just dead, but I know it's a costume just laying there. But it's still so off-putting.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. But it's not like someone's sitting in a costume.
No. No, they dumped the costume there, but it still
looks like stays there. Just leave it there. Yeah, right.
But the wings are clipped off, and you could see kind of like the bloody
meat.
Yeah,
like the bits of the
meat. But then, like even the bats, like they're caged, and I know it's dudes in suits, but there's just something about it where I'm just like, oh, this is awful that they're doing these experiments on these fake things. Like I was, like it was just bad news. The bats.
Yeah, all these like Dr. Moreau kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't I knew these monsters were in it. I assumed that they were going to just go to an island where these monsters were.
Actually, that they exist naturally, that they weren't.
Yeah, like they would go to like Infant Island or something. But the fact that they were like created in a lab and like Malick like does like brain surgery on the lion and it's super off-putting. But he puts the captain of the Black Shark, he puts her brain inside the lion.
Yeah.
That was bizarre. So he's like doing all these crazy experiments. And I think the lion was the most off-putting one because he does the brain surgery and then cuts off the condor's wings to fuse onto the lion.
Right.
But I mean, we get a cool creature out of it.
It's
I mean, they call it a griffin. which I guess, yeah, that's what a griffin sort of looks like. But it just reminded me of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah, King Moonracer.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah,
he they made a King Moonracer. Like
and I was very excited about it.
Yeah, same note. King Moonracer, the dead condor on the other table.
It was just the lifeless body. Like, get it out of there. I don't want to see it. I don't know why it's making me sad, but it's just the seeing that lifeless body.
And it's like that's a crude, like that he's such a good surgeon, but everything looks so crudely done.
Yeah.
He's like, and then that just works. All he does is attach the wings and like the you know, there's no like musculature things to do on stuff. There's also kind of a chilling, like the way he's holding that saw with the little circular edge tip of it, and it just kind of like moves it off camera and stuff. And yeah. That was pretty good.
Yeah, it definitely felt, like Dr. Moreau. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that's what it felt like. But yeah, I just figured it kind of felt more like a horror movie. Like they slipped in without telling anybody, like, oh yeah, this is going to happen. Like when you first start this movie, you don't think this is where it's going to go. I mean, how could you? And but it's so great. It's so out of left field and so weird that... like, even though I had seen that there was a lion and the Batman in it, I was still shocked and surprised. So that was good.
What was the poster like? I'm wondering if how much of the poster showed, gave it away.
Every poster that I've seen has, like, kind of the lion in the background. But it's mostly you see, like... the submarine and the characters.
Oh yeah.
And of course bikini girls. But you gotta like look really close.
This has got it looks like the bat, but with the condor wings on it. It's like the bat's face.
Yeah, there's a lot of posters for this.
Yeah, and there's and then one of the pictures on the side is the bat when he's holding that guy's daughter, it looks like.
Oh, those bats are cool. They're so creepy looking. I always like wonder why there aren't more hairy kaiju, but this movie's full of them. That's all we have except for the condor.
Wow, the Japanese posts. No, that's not Japanese. What language is that?
Oh, is that the banner one?
It was a Thai poster.
It's where it's painted and it's got like all the characters.
Yeah, and like the black shark is actually like a shark. Looks like a shark.
That's the poster I posted on Instagram because it was so awesome. Cool. It's got like the bikini. Looks so cool.
That one's got the lion on it.
Yeah, the bikini skin divers and stuff. And I made sure I waited to post that image after you had seen the movie already. That's I didn't want so it showing cool. up on your feed. Yeah, that poster is great. The Thai movie poster. There's plenty of bikinis on it. There's like four bikini girls on it.
Yeah.
One of them's actually in the movie.
This one's good. Which one's this one? There's a poster of... There's one poster that does not give away the monsters. It just shows like...
submarines and underwater stuff.
It shows a submarine, it shows a submersible, it shows the men in like diving suits and the doctor, you know, in her go-go dancer outfit.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at that
and
one.
That's kind of it. Panique in the Deep Z.
There's a lot of these posters.
This would be a cool poster for, you know, like to kind of like to have,
mm-hmm.
just because it's kind of the fact that it's kind of unknown as far as like
and it's not like a super iconic movie, so it looks like it's just a weird submarine movie. Like it's just as a piece of art, it's really cool.
Yeah, and it just looks like some kind of obscure movie.
Yeah, which I guess it is. But did you see this poster where he has like his Mackenzie has his fingers and he's shooting the fire out of his fingertips?
Yeah, that's the one that's got where the bat, they did like the wing thing on the bat. Like if you look in the background,
oh yeah,
that's,
I see.
That's definitely the bat, but I don't think it's. But he's got I don't know if his wings are attached to his arm.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
He's holding the lady.
Oh yeah, she's just kind of like doing a looks like a dance pose.
Oh yeah, she's shooting fire too. What is?
Oh yeah.
Oh. Oh, because those are the gloves. Oh, right.
Yeah, the gold suits.
All right.
Enough.
Back to it. So, yeah. So, just basic premise stuff. They were supposed to invite some scientist to go live at Atlantis Zero, and it gets intercepted. He gets kidnapped by Malik and his people, so then it's kind of a rescue mission to go and get him, and
Mackenzie and the gang
threats that he's going to take and put his brain he can steal his brain anyways, so if he doesn't cooperate.
Yeah, and the rescue mission, they put on these gold suits, but before that they take an immunity bath.
Yeah, they had to submerge completely.
Yeah.
And there's only one tub, so they got to share it.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And you can't have a bathing suit on while you do that.
No, it's an immunity bath.
Yeah. You don't want your bathing suit area to not be immune.
Nice.
These outfits are kind of cool. They're just one solid gold outfit.
Yeah, those would be the easiest. Also, I liked how like the jetpacks are so teeny, you know, they're like the little tanks on the back. You know, they're not right, but bulky.
They definitely didn't go for realism. They went for like a science fiction version. This is where the rats come in.
That's like before they decided to go on the mission, he's like going, all right, so we're just gonna have to go and save them ourselves. We need to find three people, and they're like, hey, how about us? And I know we just got here and we don't know how your technology works. How about us? And she's like, yeah, and you might need a doctor on this trip. He's like, all right, but you're staying in the ship.
Well, I mean, they all have immunity. They all took the immunity bath, so they have 24 hours where they don't need a doctor.
Oh, and also you got to test after you take the immunity bath. You need to make sure that the bath took by getting tested and so getting shot at.
Yeah, that's messed up.
But apparently it doesn't hurt that hard because he's been hit harder with ping pong balls. The full gold suits, when they're doing the thing and they're climbing the mountain, because like the jetpack is helping them climb, basically. There's one part when they cut to, basically it's dolls in gold suits or mannequins in gold suits.
Yeah, I think it was dolls.
I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah, when they're flying up the cliff. But then sometimes their legs would move.
Yeah, I think there's some stuff was...
Some stuff was real,
and some I think it was a mix. Like, I don't know where that doll's shot. Why it was necessary? Because it was like super close up, and didn't really show that much. So I was like, was that just they needed? Was that like a pickup shot that they had to do later?
I don't know.
And it's like, all right, just make it with dolls or what? No. So they come across. Well, there's the water that eats their suits. It's like some acidy kind of water.
Yeah, and it takes like one guy's shoes. The guy loses a shoe.
Yeah, they're like gonna cross it, and the guy stops them, and he steps his foot in it, and then it basically takes his whole shoe off. Well, it eats into his shoe, and they rip his shoe off and just throw it into the water.
Yeah,
because that's a partial shoe's no good anymore, anyways.
Well, I mean, if the bottom still exists, I don't know. I guess the immunity.
Well, they got rid of it.
Yeah.
And And then we get giant rats, a lot of them.
Yeah. So this island's awesome.
Yeah, I like that of like all like the bones, lots of like ribs and skulls, like when they're being pursued by the rats in that area.
Uh-huh. It reminded me. Yeah, it was like the skull crawlers sort of boneyard.
Yeah. And the rats are dumb. They just follow them into the
Yeah. Yeah. She's a fool as a woman and a fool as a griffin. That must be a quote. The griffin, I mean, it's a lion with wings. I always feel like a griffin would look different, but I guess this is kind of what a griffin looks like. I loved it. I loved that it was more of a flying kaiju than anything. Like we get the majority of it is, it's like a rigid sort of puppet flying around, but it's cool. I really like it. I don't know if you did a toy, if you looked for toys. I saw a couple.
Normally a griffin is usually like an eagle's head, almost like the front half of an eagle.
Right, and a lion's
on a lion's body, right?
Right. But isn't there a thing where it's a lion's head with wings?
Well, there's the chimera.
Yeah, that's it. I think you're right.
Chimera is a snake's tail. And it's got the head of a goat and the head of a lion. And I don't think there's wings on it. Well, some of them do, I guess. Some people like to put wings on them, it looks like. I have this... One of the Monster Paloozas, there was someone, they made this little silicone... It's like a baby chimera that I bought. Did I show that? Have you seen that? It's at my little baby chimera picture. It's a little silicone prop.
I don't think I've seen it.
Uh-uh. I'll have to send you a picture of him.
All right.
He's really cute, like this little skinless like baby.
Okay.
Maybe it'll make the collage.
Is the chimera one too many things? I feel like it's one too many things.
Yeah. Well,
a goat it seems and a like head? It.
Yeah, because the goat and the lion head is awkward. You could see because like they're not side by side usually. It's like a lot of times you see like the goat's like kind of like growing out of his back. It's like a piggyback coming off of him. It's weird, but I don't know. There's someone fights him. It's a classic mythology creature based on snakes, lions, and goats. Did you kind of like put together, like, did you make the connection when you're sitting there going, as the Joker, he was fighting Batman this whole time, and then he gets this movie that's full of Batman?
No, I didn't even. It didn't even cross my mind. It's pretty funny.
He's like, that's it. I'm going to make my own Batmans.
No, I didn't even put those together. Probably because the Bat people look so messed up. Like, they look so disturbing.
Yeah, he's got like the insanity of like a mad doctor.
Yeah. But the costumes reminded me of that that bear man in The Shining. like it was just an off-putting, weird... Whatever it is, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like their eyes, they still look like masks. Like, they didn't, like, blend the mask into the eyes.
Well, it's, like, the face, almost like he has a beak. The mouth is weird on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there was, like, the teeny tiny bats.
Yeah, that was random.
Yeah.
And then I was like, is that the babies of these bigger bats? Mm-hmm. Or is that any relation to it? Or it's like, that's just where they start and turn them into... Yeah, the face part is kind of weird. I wonder if they made them. I wonder if there's a version of them that doesn't have the beak and they're like going, we need to do something with the mouth.
Could be.
My next note is Lucretia's death, and then she turns to dust.
Yes. Yeah, is that the... Is that... Mackenzie throws her, right? And she, like, goes into the knife?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah, he stabs her, and she's like... Yeah. It's like, oh, it was an accident. And then she turns to dust. And, you know, I'm sitting there going... Now, just saying how she turns to dust right now, it's almost like the diamonds that turn to dust, or the you know, how they became just dirt.
Oh, yeah.
In the guy's pow.
That's and right.
It kind of like, I don't know, that obviously this would be creating much more mythology than I think the movie gives us, but in the sense where it's like they couldn't exist on the surface.
Huh.
And that would make Malik kind of like he's part of the same group, like he's part of Latitude Zero, the people of Latitude Zero. Like he doesn't have his own anti-utopia, really.
Yeah.
He has a base and henchman.
Yeah, it almost feels like he was maybe kicked out.
Yeah, it's like the Lucifer story.
Yeah, he's like so, because Latitude Zero seems so secretive that no one should know about it, but the fact that he knows about it.
But they happen to be at war. Yeah. Like their two submarines are at war with each other.
Sparkle
there's
Rocks.
There's a moment. There's a, what?
I just said Sparkle Rocks. I think it's the ones that fall from the cliff or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a note I just read. It's been a little bit since I watched the movie. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
There's a part later when they get back on the Alpha, and Kobo can't push the lever,
mm-hmm.
and then the captain does, and like. What, the captain is now stronger than Kobo, or has he always been stronger than Kobo? Because Kobo's been the heavy this entire time.
He's yeah.
been the one that they've gone to when if they need a jar opened, they give it to Kobo. And then suddenly the captain is stronger?
I don't know. I feel like maybe Joseph Cotton was like, I want to be the best at everything.
Yeah, I can never lose a fight.
Yeah. He, Kobo... I enjoy the fact that he looked like a genie.
His
little gold vest.
Well, right. When you first come into the the submarine, I don't know if it's still called the cockpit or not, but when they first came into
the bridge.
That, yeah, sure. The when they're in the bridge, and then you're like going, oh, that's the moment when you go like. All right, I think these outfits are going to be something else. Because they go, this is military.
Yeah.
Speaking of outfits, and then the third outfit, the brown velvet suit with Captain Mackenzie with the hat.
I wish, like, I don't know how it works, but I feel like I hear stories of actors, like, wanting to keep their costumes and stuff. Like, do you feel like Joseph Cotton was like, I need to keep all these outfits? Because I would want them all.
This is, I don't know. It's tricky. It's like, I don't know. Because Joseph Cotton is from an older generation, you know. Uh-huh. Like, I wondered what his attitude was in making this movie or not. Or maybe he was just like, you know, just into, you know, enjoying the swinging 60s. Mm-hmm. And just kind of like getting into it.
Yeah.
I mean, he wore the costumes. Like he kind of moved the way they draped. He definitely seemed, or maybe that's who he is. Maybe it's like he, you know, in the other movies he had to be all stuffy and stuff, and now he could finally like
let loose,
be the Joseph Cotton that he was born to be.
It is I don't know. I think he would want to keep them. He felt really comfortable in that stuff.
Yeah. okay, so wait. What's the name of the American?
Oh, man.
Who goes back?
The guy with the diamonds?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Okay, so anyways, so he goes back, and there's that kind of Wizard of Oz moment where he gets rescued, and he's trying to explain where he's been and what's been going on. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, I'll prove it. And then it's the dirt diamonds and all that stuff is happening.
Perry.
And then, okay, Perry. And then, so then in come, you know, the people who look like, you know, this is the part that makes you go like, was it a dream?
Yeah. Was it like a conspiracy? Is it a, I'm like, is this a twist? What's happening?
Yeah. You keep waiting for him to like wink and be like,
or turn to like, the camera, like,
and, yeah, to be like, don't, you know, just don't know. Just be cool. Just be cool. And they're like, and so the whole part of this utopian society and the whole premise is like that, that the rest of the world isn't ready yet for it.
Yeah. And they show you that with a depressing montage.
I know. And I was like, what's with the slideshow? And then, cause like all of a sudden they're like, and then it's just a slideshow of images of just, you know, the worst of humanity during that period of time as far as leading up to it.
Yeah, it's like a heavy-handed message. I get it. But the slideshow was really off-putting. I'm like, we made it this far and now you're going to make me feel weird? Like right at the
end. Yeah, you know, right. And so then I had this thing when that moment when they kind of like they put him in sick bay. And they say, take care of him, Corman. And those two men take him away. And I was like, oh, I really want those two men to be the guys who are in the bad suits.
Oh.
I thought it'd be perfect just to like slip them into that.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be cool. Yeah. I couldn't figure out the ending.
Yeah.
I feel like it was just part of the cover up for Latitude Zero and it was just Mackenzie. But it's tough to say. I didn't even think to look up to see. Yeah, people are saying that they think it was a dream.
The whole thing?
Yeah, but and other people are just saying that it was they were trying to make Perry seem like he didn't know what he was talking about so that they wouldn't trace him back to Latitude Zero. Like, I feel like it was a cover-up. I feel like Mackenzie could have showed up or whatever. And just discredited him.
I thought it was going to be, like, a thing like that. Like, I think it could have been. I mean, this type of thing has existed before. It's like, you know, it's like, yeah, this is a really great place. But you can't tell people about this.
Yeah.
And if he like stole the diamonds anyways, like if he tried to do it secretly and then they turned into sand, that would have been good. But he's like, yeah, go ahead, take them. We don't really need them because we only use them to like stick plants into. So it's interesting that he was so
cavalier.
So generous about it.
And then, oh, yeah.
Like, because you would assume he would have known.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah. It's interesting. But, yeah. I guess it's left up to the viewer. I don't think, I don't like the fact that it was all a dream.
I don't imagine it being all a dream.
Yeah. And, I like to,
So if it's all a dream, what are you saying? You're saying that
I have no idea.
The submarine really did, like the little submergible really got destroyed. The other two men died and he's the only one who survived and in his unconsciousness had this dream, this fantasy dream.
I guess. But the fact that he's not in every scene
and
doesn't explain why we see other stuff happening.
And the other thing he doesn't explain is, how did the dirt get into that bag?
Yeah. It's definitely, I feel like it's a cover-up so that he doesn't go blabbing. And maybe Mackenzie knew ahead of time, like, yeah, sure, take these diamonds. They're just going to turn into dust anyway. This movie's great.
I was like, we kind of left off the bit about how Gorka's got a big crush on Malik.
Oh yeah, and I think, and then the what's her name, Felucia to what's his wife's name, Malik's wife, was very jealous.
Lucretia.
Lucretia, that sounds gross.
Croyga, yeah. And she's like, I want to be alone with you. And she's like, this is, and he's like, don't worry, I'm just leading her on.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lucretia.
Her outfits, by the way. She was wearing like these evening gowns and stuff. Yeah. During these
still the most battles. Conservative of the,
yeah,
the things.
Yeah. I don't think it breaks my top five, but it definitely is up there as far as movies that are nuts. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun being able to like see movies that we have like no frame of reference to.
Yeah.
And the best example of that being Frankenstein Conquers the World.
Right.
But this one, it's like, there's not a lot of the monsters fighting other monsters or monsters destroying things, but they were still cool looking. I think this is one I'm going to have to revisit. I don't know if I would like around like Halloween time or something. It's one of those movies like Matango where I feel like it would just be like a weird kind of fun, bizarre movie to put on, you know, when I'm in the mood for it, especially the second half.
I just like the thought of the fun, like assignments of basically being like, okay, we need you to make, two condors.
Yeah.
One has to be a working puppet, and the other one is like just the body with like the wings have been cut off, and then you also make us some wings.
It's great.
It's also just like the amount of like it's just goofy, like the models, the casting of like the pretty models
Their
utopian society.
Yeah.
And my favorite was, the woman who is not really much of an actress, but she's the one who tells the captain, we're getting a signal in sector 8724, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Well, or we're getting a signal. We'll get the location in a moment. It's just like, she's just there to be a pretty face and she has to give this line. It's funny.
We think she won a contest. To be in a movie.
Yes. She got the it's like the contest that like we have all the extras are working the thing and we have like you say this, we're getting a signal and blah blah blah. Or like Joseph Kahn saying, "Hey, can one of these people say that they're getting a signal and then I'll do my line about how we got to, you know, get the announcement on the crew."
Yeah, something to kind of set him up and lead him in to his line. Eh, could be. Yeah, any other thoughts? I don't think it's a top five, but it's,
no,
it's
one not of those top five. I can't see how it would have made up a top five.
But it's definitely memorable. I think...
Totally memorable.
Yeah,
it's... These are the kind of movies I go like, I'm definitely... This is a movie I'll come back to again.
Yeah.
And this is a movie that I'll also... want to introduce to people.
Yeah
because I'll be like, here's one. Yeah.
Hey, you want to see something different? Check this out, because it's like two weird movies mashed together, and I liked both of them. The weird Dr. Frankenstein movie
being
like a futuristic submarine war movie,
futuristic submarine fight. Yeah. Oh no, we forgot how it flew.
Oh yeah.
That he's just going, if we try, it's like a new experiment. If we try this, yeah, that's the other, that's the Cesar Romero and the whole bit of like he has his like basically, when does he get such wonderful toys?
That'd be great.
He's always impressed by you know, the new modifications that, and it's like everything that he does to one up. The alpha has already kind of like is already way ahead of him.
Yeah, he's impressed with Mackenzie, and it infuriates him.
Yeah, but he respects it. Kind of, That, yeah, exactly. That honor.
Cool. Good stuff. It's another Ashiro Honda marked off the list, which is awesome, but sad because we're dwindling. It's great to discover these, but it's sad that we're getting closer to running out. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It was fun. You ready to talk about next episode?
Hang on. Did you know that this was based on a radio serial?
What? I'm going to have to listen to that. It kind of makes sense. The Frankenstein monster, the Dr. Moreau stuff was like way later in the serial when they were like running out of ideas. Oh man, if it's available, I'm going to track it down and listen to it while at work or something. Yeah. That sounds great. It was called Latitude Zero.
Yeah. I think I found episode one.
Sweet. All right. I'm definitely going to listen to that then. That sounds great. But yeah, it's called Latitude Zero and cool. When was the radio?
From 1941.
Oh, sweet. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm in. I'm definitely going to check that out.
Oh, it's called the Omega instead of the Alpha.
Yeah, I like the idea of like
being a, like this suddenly creates an idea of like you could be a fan of something as a kid,
mm-hmm.
and then dream it up as a movie later.
Yeah,
because it's like 20 years.
Yeah,
almost.
So yeah, this might have been cool. A big deal. All right, next episode: Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2.
1993. Yeah.
Yeah.
The sequel.
I guess we'll get into it.
It's a big gap.
Yeah, but it's the third Mechagodzilla movie, so we'll figure it out. Okay. You'll be able to watch that on kaijupod.com, and you can go there and see our links to our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And yeah, man, until next time, I'm going to go take an immunity bath.
I'm going to turn on my little switch on my glasses and put them in my pocket and not actually wear them. So the people can find me.
This movie had everything in it.
It
like it was trying to beat James Bond and Batman and Frankenstein and a war movie. That's great.